inside the radio octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Welcome inside the Sports Cage on this Thursday. And the Sports Cage on Thursdays for our friends at Extreme Hockey and Sport. It's a new era there. The torch has been passed to Donnie and Tarrington and Extreme Hockey and Sport. New owners, same goals, proudly serving Regina and area for 35 years. Barney Shankaruk with you. Kellen back in the co-host seat. Alan punching the buttons over there, doing a heck of a job. And we're not in Century Studio. This is my first time hosting the cage back in the bunker. If this was like a cruise ship, we had ocean view with a balcony, and now we are in the cheap cabins right in the middle.
Yeah, we're in an inside cabin now for sure, Barney. and I've lived some inside cabins on some cruise ships. Curiously, as soon as I stopped traveling, my parents suddenly were balcony people on cruise ships.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the quest for internet here in the bunker is tough.
It's got it's got the smell of Colin Lovequist and his cologne. He just walked out. So we're here for the next 3 hours and a jam-packed show. I know a lot of DJs and sports hosts and all that always say that. Maybe not jam-packed. It's an eclectic show. We have a lot for you today. Arash Madani coming in later this hour. Always a nice chat with Arash. Probably some baseball chat there. Maybe a little NFL. CFL fans, don't worry. Hang on to your pants. We got CFL work coming at you. We got Glenn Suter today as well. Also, the Edmonton Elks up for sale, it sounds like. We're going to talk to Suits about that. Also, a Saskatchewan native is going down to try his luck at a pro day with a U.S. college, and he is protected by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, so we're going to talk about that. Triple-A Mail, Game 2 tonight. Pat Canadiens, Swift Current Legionnaires going at it in Swifty. Pat Canadiens are up 1-0 in that series. CIS Women's Hockey Championship getting underway up in Saskatoon. The host team, U of S Huskies, are in absolutely tough. They are taking on the Concordia Stingers, who are 25-0 in the regular season, 4-2 in the playoffs. Great women's hockey, though, if you want to go up and watch any of that at the Belcher Center, beautiful facility in Saskatoon. Clutch performer, SJHL report with Benny Walchuk, who is the play-by-play voice of three SJ teams. In hour three, this is where it gets really interesting. Marty Murray, head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings, former WHL stud back in the 90s. Great interview with Marty Murray coming up. Senior hockey report. We're doing it today instead of tomorrow because there's a lot of senior hockey coming up in the province. As you know, thousands of people taking in the games last week. Dwight King, two-time Stanley Cup champ from the LA Kings, now playing with the Round Lake Bears and the Ochapaways First Nation in the Provincial A Loop. And they're getting ready to take on Lumsden in Game 2. Dwight King is going to join us. And then female hockey again. The female U18 Rebels get set to start their playoffs because they had a first-round bye. This weekend, we talked to Stryker Zablocki. And if you haven't heard that name in the hockey circles, you're going to want to remember it. She is, I think, just turned 16, led the league in scoring by a mile, played for Canada at the U18 Junior Female Championships in Switzerland. She's going to talk about that. And she has committed to a Division I program. So, Kellen, you're around the hockey rinks a lot. And, you know, you've watched the Rebels play this year. And I know I talked to Sharky a little bit earlier, but let's maybe start there. And it's going to lead us into our question on the text line today. Female hockey has come a long way.
Yeah, it definitely has. We had the unique opportunity to match up a few times this year in exhibition with the new look U13 AA Rebels white and black teams. just super impressive hockey. Historically, they've had a team in the boys' loop at U13A, and this year they broke off into that Sask Female Hockey League. It's great hockey. As they get, you know, older, the AA teams at U15 and then the AAA at U18 is incredible hockey. And you know, I come from a bit of a background related to female hockey. Worked with the Brock University in St. Catharines during university. And then my cousin was a Division I goaltender at Syracuse University and played with the national team back in the early 2000s. So I've been around a fair amount of female hockey, and it's very impressive competition for sure.
Yeah, Strikers, Ablocki, all the U18 Regina Rebels, they buzz out there, absolutely fly. The shots have come so far. A lot of that is technology. The goaltenders are big, so it's great hockey. We're going to talk to Stryker. Hey, you mentioned Brock University. I don't even know where Brock University is. Somewhere out east. Where is it exactly?
St. Catharines, Ontario.
St. Catharines, Ontario. Why that is a significance right now is our U of R men's CIS curling team is at the national championships in the Maritimes. They're 2-2. They're in tough. Huge game tonight against Brock University. They need to win that one. Brock is 1-3. So, yeah, 2-2. Probably not the start that the U of R men's team wanted out there, but hopefully they can pull it together. 12 games in the National Hockey League tonight. The ones of interest, we were just talking about this, and this is going to bring us into our clutch performer a little bit later in the show. The Vancouver Canucks blow a 3-0 lead to the Colorado Avalanche last night. I had a chance to watch that game in the third period, and Colorado was a brand new team. It's like they had the long bus trip, got off, got to the rink, laid an egg in the first two, and then they finally got their legs under them. Colorado can strike fast, and the Canucks found out the hard way. I think Rick Tocchet today just saying soft on pucks, effort wasn't there, and MacKinnon just took over the game. So the Canucks lose last night. Tonight in the National Hockey League, Rangers Lightning, massive matchup in the Eastern Conference, along with another possible Eastern Conference final, maybe the Florida Panthers and Carolina Hurricanes. That's a measuring stick game. So those are two good games in the East going on tonight. Out in the West, not loaded up with a lot of exciting games tonight. The Golden Knights taking on the Calgary Flames. And I think it's funny because I was talking to someone today, and it's like, yeah, you know, the Golden Knights, can't count them out, all that. And I'm like, the Golden Knights right now, and I know they've done some moves here, and Kelly McCrimmon's an absolute genius. The Golden Knights are the second wild card team as it stands right now, which they would play the Vancouver Canucks the way it shakes down right now. That ain't a good matchup for the Canucks or for anyone. But the Golden Knights coming in, like, as a wild card spot, St. Louis can't see him catching them. So, and then Los Angeles and them are tied. They're bouncing back and forth for third in the Pacific. But if it comes up here, if it comes to Nashville versus Vancouver in the first round, Nashville's a team that I watched, was it yesterday or the night before? And I'm like, these guys are good. Yeah, they are in the playoff race right now, but I can name more players on the 72 Russian team than I can on the Nashville Predators right now, but they're sneaky, and to use the old Mike Sully, 8 always beats a 1.
They do for sure, and you talk about Vegas coming in as an 8 seed being sort of a scary matchup for Vancouver, but I mean, the one downfall, I think Vegas has just incredible performances on home ice. The atmosphere there is incredible. Yeah. So if they got to come into a playoff race or come into a playoffs this year, playing on the road every series and starting on the road every series, I mean, I think that takes away some of the advantage that they had a year ago, getting to come back home for a couple game sevens at T-Mobile. But yeah, Nashville is you know, you said they're a sneaky team. They're a not a who's who by any stretch of the imagination. So
Capital Ford Lincoln text line already buzzing with people saying, what we got one text already. Watch out for Nashville. Great goaltending. That's why they will win in the playoffs. With Saros? Is that how you pronounce his name?
UC Saros? Yeah.
He's sneaky. Good. Again, just a team that is flying under the radar. So, yeah. Always jump in on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. 936-6262. 306-936-6262. The question I had today, it's not NHL related, but if you want to chime in on that, fire away. If you want to just tell us where you're listening from, fire away. I'd like to find out, you know, how far away people, where the pocket is, all that. Where are you listening from today? But the question I have, and we're going to debate this after the break, and people can jump in, 936-6262. When we get to competitive sports, so let's say it's that 13-year-old, 14-year-old, at what age, any sport, should a parent not coach their kid anymore? A debate I had last night with a guy. I don't know. I coach my kids in flag football. Love it. Getting to the point next year where one of them's in competitive flag football, I don't know if I want that smoke. When it comes to hockey, I definitely do not want to be anywhere around competitive hockey and coaching one of my kids. I think it's beneficial for them to be coached and taught by other people, because mom and dad need to be at an arm's length. We'll go to break. You can always chime in on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line, 936-6262. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Nobody covers your team like our team. This is the Sports Cage on the mighty 620 CKRM.
Right on, a little cowbell, a little rock and roll guitar in. It is the Sports Cage on this Thursday. Barney Shankaruk and Kellen with you. It's for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. Hey, get this. Friday night, tomorrow, Wosley Junior C Mustangs take on Yellowgrass in a do-or-die game, 8 o'clock at the Wosley Sportsplex. At 5:30, get your messy shirt on. They're having a wing night with Craft Products. Going to be on sale. You come out and cheer the Mustangs on to victory. There's going to be a guaranteed 50-50 of 500. Food Bank Drive. This is key. Food Bank Drive. People bringing Craft Products if possible. Any kind of food obviously is good when it's going to the food bank. Non-perishable food. To promote their bid to try and win Craft Hockeyville. I love it. Behind it, 1,000%. Go Wosley. I'll talk about this every time that I'm on the show. If anyone from Kraft is listening, this thing is a scam when it comes to Saskatchewan. Like, Saskatchewan has never won. It sickens me. And that the voting have they changed the voting, though? It's a little bit shady. It's always something, not always something out east, but Saskatchewan's never won it. Like, let's go. There's been some unbelievable nominees. Was it Pence a few years ago?
Yeah,
Pence. Deserved a win.
Yeah, Pence was in the mix a few years ago for sure. I know this is something that you feel very strongly on, and I've heard you rant about this before. It's unfortunately, it's a numbers game, and we don't have the numbers for some reason in this competition. We seem to vote in droves, and no matter how much we vote, we still don't have enough votes to compete with the mighty East or some, you know, some random feel-good story.
I think it's a hand-picked job, honestly. Let's go Wosley. Let's get behind him. Go eat some chicken wings tomorrow night. Cheer on the Wosley Junior C Fly. Who doesn't like a chicken wing on a Friday? 5:30. Yum. Get on in there. We'll mention that. Like I said, every time I'm here, I'm all behind it. Capital Ford Lincoln text line 936-6262. Someone else texting in. Nashville has goaltending and some solid hockey players that don't get the recognition. You like that? That's where you're going with that.
Yeah. I mean, I looked up their roster here after we were talking about it, and they do have a sneaky roster of names that you would know that you forget have ended up in Nashville.
Can I name one?
Sure.
Well, I think, well, Ryan O'Reilly's there, veteran.
He's there now.
Johansson's still there? Did he go back there?
No, he's bounced around a little bit. He went to Colorado. He just got moved again last week as part of a cap reduction in one of their trades.
Sarosin goal. Oh, who is the other Euro that I'm thinking of that's really good?
Roman Josi.
Josi.
Yeah. And your alter ego, Barry Tyson.
Yeah.
So they just made some big moves, like Jared Anderson Dolan was a dub guy, just went over there from LA. Anthony Bevilier moved in. Philip Forsberg still there.
That's the other guy that I was thinking of. Philip Forsberg.
Curly mustache. Can't miss him.
Philip Forsberg. Oh, yeah. I don't know, though. Like, do I take him in one of the drafts? Maybe in one of them? Do you take a few? Because if you do, and it's like Florida last year, and you end up, you know, teams wherever, you look like a genius.
They just made a move for Jason Zucker at the deadline there, too. So he's in the mix there. Dante Fabro. They got names. Luke Shen.
Yeah, that's another text we got. It's a good Sasky boy, Luke Shen, on the Nashville Predators. Another text we got on a separate topic from George. Georgie and the family, or they're cruising up to watch close family friend daughter Sarah Kendall from Cadillac, Saskatchewan. It's good ranching country down there. They like their rodeo. I like hung out in Cadillac. I think it's the home of Jesse LaSalle. Played hockey with him back in the day as a youngster. Yeah, going to watch the Huskies tonight, 7 p.m. at the Belcher Center in Saskatoon against the absolute Hoagan Concordia Stingers, who won 25. They went 25-0 in the regular season. But hey, watch Miracle as a team last night. Get inspired. And you know what? Everybody's got to, they put their pants on one leg at a time.
And they won't get their Montreal Putain in Saskatoon either. It might be a different pregame meal for the Stingers.
So much fun. The other question we have, chime in. No one's chimed in on this yet. Might be a little dicey. Oh, what's your take? At what age, competitive sport-wise, should a parent back away? And organizations should say, yeah, no, it's time for independent coaches at this level of soccer, hockey, football, basketball, whatever. I think Saskatoon minor hockey, you know, when you get to definitely, I think it's Bantam, it's a lot of independent coaches there. And I know it's tough because coaching is a ton of time. And then you got to deal with all the idiot parents like me. I have self-awareness. I've been there. Trust me. It is a thankless job, and then you get like a Leo's gift card at the end of the year, or a Sobeys liquor store, Last Mountain Distillery, whatever it is, and you're like, yeah, I put up with all that throughout the season. I was like, so you're coaching right now, independent. How many ice sessions so far this year?
We're north of 100 for sure. We're busy, I would say, in that under 13 A loop, we would be one of the busier teams. We've seen a lot of the West. I said to you, I have a conflicted answer on this question. One, because I am an independent coach and I don't fancy myself to be that much more brilliant or as brilliant as other options. But I think, you know, the real answer is really it's market based. I mean, I'm hard pressed to believe in a place like Swift Current, there's a better Bantam AA candidate coach than Travis Mullen, who is their head coach, right? He's a great, great hockey coach, great hockey mind, obviously, played in the NHL.
And his kid's an absolute force.
He is an incredible player.
They got a good hockey team.
Yeah, you know, even Regina, you know, Rob Benroth has done a great job
as an independent.
But then you have, you know, Rob Montaigne, who coached with the Pats for a number of years, who's leading the Pat Blues, one of the top teams in the league. Jason Schmidt, who was, you know, played SJ hockey, is a great hockey coach leading the Aces. Like, is there better candidates out there than the ones that are being offered here in Regina? I don't know that there is.
936-6262. Texts coming in. We're going to tackle those after the break. Already a half hour in the books. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
where Saskatchewan sports fans come to talk. This is The Sports Cage on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside The Sports Cage on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. Capital Ford Lincoln text line. Heating up. I like it. People on the Nashville surprised due to goaltending. Kevin likes Nashville. Also, got to give a plug here to Dawson tuning in from Lethbridge, Alberta. Can't wait for the King interview. Loves the senior hockey chat. Game 2 in OCHAP is going to be must-watch hockey Saturday. Yes, it is. That interview with two-time Stanley Cup winner Dwight King, who's playing Senior A Provincial Hockey for Round Lake, is coming up in Hour 3. All right, baseball fans, here we go. We're going out to talk to our main man, Arash Madani. And it's always brought to you by... Where is it? I'd lost it. I haven't done this yet on the cage, and it drives me insane. We'll find it. Arash, I feel like I'm drinking champagne on the airplane now after Kirk Cousins was traded and out of touch here. You want to talk baseball today, and Kellen is absolutely pumped because he's a big Blue Jay fan. Let's start with Vladdy. You're saying that some interesting comments to Hazel May.
Vladdy wants the home run jacket back, guys. It disappeared last season. It was around for 2021 and the 2022 seasons. And Vladdy said, I liked it. I like celebrating with it. And he said, I want to be involved in celebrations in the dugout. I don't know why it's become so polarizing when guys enjoy accomplishing something, celebrate their successes, and do it together, but it kind of became that way. And Vladdy's saying, no, I want it back. So in this day, in the TikTok era, that's a thing.
Yeah, TikTok world. My wife always says that, right? It's a TikTok world out there. Okay, I hacked it up. Here it
may
is.
May not be moving forward, but anyway, that's a different story for a different day.
Coast to Coast with Arash is brought to you by Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Gawley at Smart Investing Solutions, 546-2533. Sorry, Bri. I'll buy you a cocktail in Vegas in a couple weeks on the client trip. Joey Votto. 40 years old.
Uh-huh.
What do we expect from this? What's a realistic expectation for this guy this year?
Realistic expectation is that he opens the season in AAA. He'll be with the Buffalo Bisons for probably the first month, at least.
Go Herd.
And then just kind of see where he is. You know, where's his body? Where's his bat? And what's also happening with the big club? You know, Daniel Vogelbach is a bench player, pinch hitter, DH type dude that they brought in. You know, they gave Justin Turner some money. They gave Isaiah Kiner-Falefa some money, but they don't really pay Santiago Espinal all that much. I think they kind of look at the whole situation, I don't know, mid-May? And just say, all right, can Votto still hit? Can Votto still play?
Exactly.
Because for the last couple of years, he's just had so many injuries, guys. I think there's a big question mark around who and what Joey Votto can be.
Arash, Kellen here, and you talked about injuries, especially right now with the shoulder issues for Kevin Gausman, Alek Manoah. Like, are we seeing the depth here to weather the storm off the hop until these guys are healthy? I mean, they played without Manoah last year, but Gausman especially?
Well, Kellen, twofold, and I'll get to Gausman and Manoah in a sec. Here's what I always find so weird and bizarre about baseball. We get so caught up in spring wondering who the starting rotation is going to be, 1 through 5, and really the opening day roster, when in reality, you need 9 starting pitchers to get through a baseball season. You know, it's almost become this way with quarterbacks, too. I think I heard somewhere today, 71 different quarterbacks started in the NFL last year. Sure. Baseball, you're going to need a bunch of guys who are going to be able to get you through 162 games starting. Not just openers, but, you know, Bowden Francis has become somebody they're looking at. Can Ricky Tiedemann step in? Now, Gausman doesn't sound like it's too bad. There's still a chance he may not break camp with the team. He may need, I don't know, an extra week or two to start the year. Manoah still feels like a question mark, guys, and he's felt like a question mark from the moment camp opened last year. It was a disastrous 2023. Comes in much better shape, etc. But there's two things you don't want to hear about a pitcher, right? Shoulder and elbow. And for Alek Manoah, like every single rep and every single day and every possible spring start matters. So that's going to be a real question mark, I think, throughout the season, not just now.
Yeah, you spoke to it briefly there, but is Ricky ready? Is he? Do you see Ricky being one of those nine guys this year in Tiedemann?
I do if he stays healthy and he continues on this trajectory, on this progression. Like, his fastball is hitting high 90s. And Tiedemann's boy wonder. He's the next one. There have been so many next ones of the Blue Jays. Most haven't panned out. Some have. But this guy has been on the radar for a while, and he was hurt last year. You know, it wasn't really a setback, though. Like, he's kind of come in and picked up where he's left off. So will the Blue Jays need Ricky Tiedemann at some point this season? I think so. And what will be interesting is they wanted nothing to do with Manoah pitching in 2021. They didn't. Then they had to go to him. And it ended up working out okay in 2021 and 2022. So the thinking here is we don't really want Tiedemann in the mix, but if we're going to be in the playoff conversation, we probably are going to need him at some point.
I haven't. It's a ballpark that I've never been to, actually, the Rogers Center. So we got what is it, $600 million in renovations over the last couple of years. So now,
yes.
What's the fan experience? So people coming from Sasky, maybe hopping on Lynx Air, heading out to Toronto. That's an inside joke. That's a bad joke. Sorry, anyone that got canceled on Lynx Air. If they're heading there, what is the experience going to be like now in that Rogers Center? I'm super curious about this.
Well, for those who have been before, this experience is going to feel like not a new and different ballpark, but an absolutely different experience. They have torn out a lot of the 100 section between the dugouts, and it's going to be more of a communal gathering area and corporate area. Brand new seats in the lower bowl and the upper bowl. I don't think you'll be able to walk 10 steps without somebody offering you an $18 beer at one of the concessions. The main thing that's changed, though, is the seats, but also people aren't really interested in sitting for 3 hours at the ballpark. They want to be in as many social atmospheres as possible, and they've added more of those. So there's only so much you can do with a concrete, you know, facility in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
But for $600 million, they've done a little bit.
It's funny because you look at baseball, and I was talking the other day when Sharky was on with me, and we were talking about the Brandt Center, if it's old, and, you know, can it be renoed? And I think there's just some major sewer issues in Regina that can't be rectified. But it's always baseball parks that seem, not always, but they seem to renovate, and they keep it old, and they just reno. When it comes to, like, hockey or arenas, it's like, nope, time to blow it up, build a new one. Football, maybe a bit with, like, a Lambo and all that, but it seems like baseball parks, they're like, let's hang on to this history, hang on to the feel. Like, Fenway is an unbelievable experience, unless you're in those really small seats that, like, you know, my 13-year-old.
Wrigley Field, the
same. Yeah, I've never been to Wrigley. But I just find it, you know, like, baseball seems to hang on to it, and they're like, no, let's fix this. Let's reno this. What's your favorite ballpark?
My favorite, I'll give you two. Both are in the National League. Pittsburgh's amazing. PNC Park in downtown Pittsburgh. You know, if you're looking out from home plate, you see the Roberto Clemente Bridge. You know, the water's right there, part of the Three Rivers. You go in there, you wouldn't know if it's 1924 or 2024. And it's a ballpark. San Francisco, downtown by McCovey Cove, same kind of vibe. So much brick. Great place. They've had a lot of success with baseball in San Francisco since leaving Candlestick Park for that place. I think it's at Oracle Field. So yep. Those are the two that I would recommend to anybody if you haven't been. Sneaky good, and this is, I knew the fact I'm a Vikings fan, but Target Field is relatively new in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Really nice ballpark, too. Outdoors, which surprises me for the Twin Cities because the weather's so lousy.
Big time.
But those are
three.
Those are three really good ones.
You know, that Target, a lot of people from Regina and Sask make that trip, and they go to Minot, and then they hop on the Amtrak, and it's an overnight jaunt, and you get into Twin Cities, and you go get banged up, watch some baseball, some shopping, and then you come back. A lot of people do it. The thing about San Fran, though, Arash, and it's just like going out to Levi there, which isn't in San Fran, you have to really watch anything kind of water-wise, but you have to watch the temperature. Because when I went to a Giants game, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, 19 degrees, but sun went away, wind came in off the, you know, water there, and I was like, well, I'm not dressed for this. You got to be prepared.
It's wild. I went to a Giants-Dodgers game mid-June, late June. I was doing working the NBA Finals 1 year. And on the travel day, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, you look at the, as you mentioned, you look at the temperature, you're like, oh, 25 degrees. I'm like, awesome, T-shirt and shorts. And then October rolls around for the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nicer there in October than it is in late June. Go figure.
Yeah.
No. I would tell you this, another underrated place, not necessarily the ballpark, but for a road trip.
San Diego.
And I haven't done Petco yet.
Okay.
Here is very underrated, and you'd be like, what are you talking about? Because downtown is a hellscape. But
Detroit.
It's Cleveland.
Oh!
You leave the ballpark at Cleveland. If there is a Cavs playoff game, you'd be able to go to a basketball game. But outside of that, if you just keep walking, not 5 minutes, there are two cobblestone streets closed off to traffic that are just surrounded by bars and restaurants. Uh-huh. Less than a 10-minute walk from leaving the baseball stadium. And on a weekend, it is rocking in there. And when the Jays are around, it is all Jays fans in downtown Cleveland. So that's a place that you can get a little bit of trouble into. Not that you guys are into getting into trouble on road trips, but...
Not that guy. I'd be finding the golf course and looking up golf now, and where can I swing the wrenches way too early in the morning. Arash, thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you again next week. You're going to Dallas next week.
Going to Dallas next week. Canada's men's national soccer team.
Oh.
Is in a Copa America qualifier. This is like kind of the lead up to the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah.
And a bit of a changing of the guard with the roster, but Alphonso Davies will still be there. Jonathan David will still be there. So
where are they playing?
They're playing in Frisco, which is kind of a suburb of Dallas. They got about a 10,000 seat stadium there. Yeah. And they're playing Trinidad and Tobago. So
cool. Well, we're looking forward to catching up with you next week, my man. Travel safe.
All right. Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend.
That is Coast to Coast with Arash Madani. Always for our friend Brian Gawley. It's Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Gawley, 546-2533. You are listening to The Sports Cage on the Voice of Sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Our house is your house. Welcome inside the Sports Cage on Saskatchewan Sports Radio, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport. 2024, changing in the guard, new owners, same goals, proudly serving Regina and its community and area for 35 years. Barney Shankaruk and Kellen here. Nice chat there with our man, Arash Madani. Let's get back out, Kel, to some of these texts. And the two kind of questions that we posed for people is... we started talking about Nashville Predators, and people are chiming in on that, how Nashville is a good team based around goaltending for starters. But... you know, they'd have a lot of sneaky good hockey players, and they haven't been getting the recognition that they deserve. And right now, they're sitting with 80 points. They're actually three up on the Vegas Golden Knights in the wild card. Vegas and Los Angeles are tied with 77, but Los Angeles is holding the tiebreaker for third in the Pacific. Nashville could be the sneaky team, the sneaky wanderer. Anything else that you're finding as you go through their roster and dissect? You're getting itchy to take them in the maybe the Keniston Super Draft on one of the sheets.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm more looking at the standings there in the Western Conference, and you know, we talk about being the sneaky team there, and Vancouver sitting first overall in the West right now. Colorado, a team you mentioned earlier, that came all the way back on Vancouver last night. They just got Nikushkin back out of substance abuse time. So they're a good team. They're only 3 points back of Vancouver. You're playing a little Russian roulette there, sitting in that eight spot if you're trying to call your shot to get Vancouver. If you end up with Colorado or even sneak into third in the Pacific, or I don't think Nashville's catching Winnipeg, so they're sort of locked into a wild card spot. Even 9 points ahead of St. Louis, like they're probably comfortably knowing they're going to be in a wild card spot. And
I don't sleep on Dallas either, because they're 3 points back.
Yeah, Dallas is tied with Colorado atop the Central Division. So, yeah, it's a scary place to be, sitting in those 7-8 spots with the chance that you could get the Central winner.
Thatcher Demko injured also for the Vancouver Canucks, and I was watching that game and I was like, I thought it was maybe a groin and it was a knee, and they're saying I think 3 weeks, but you know, who knows? And then if he comes back, and how, like, anything on the body's tricky on a goalie, especially into the playoffs, but a knee, it's kind of an important part of the body as a goalie. It's not like, you know, you can tough out a shoulder or maybe something in the back. It's the knee, you got to be able to move.
He must have missed the Vegas memo. He was supposed to get hurt last week so they could pick up some extra salary here.
Yeah, exactly. Back on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line, 936-6262. There's more chatter. Rick here tuning in from... where is this? Outside of Hudson Bay, Mastatum. Thanks, Nick, for the... And as far as coaching, here we go. One with our with coaching, step back in baseball with my son in Bantam Draft, continued on minor ball and hockey boards, coached their 2 and 3 hockey throughout midget, very fortunate in our neck of the woods with very qualified coaches. A guy by the name of Ron Chirpschuk, I think I butchered that, I'm sorry, in Bronco baseball. And so it's one of those things, right? It's at what time and at what point? I think it depends on, you know, like you said, what do you have available? And there are some really good hockey coaches that are parents in Bantam, AA, and Regina right now. And then you get into the smaller communities. Well, it's always going to probably be a parent. Although the Prairie Storm does a good job in PBAA of having independent coaches. It's Tori Lindsay, who actually plays for the Lums and Monarchs. He coaches as an independent in the Prairie Storm. I think that's great. And they're always absolutely really good. They do pick from a lot of kids. It's a really good move there. You know, out east, though, so let's go back to, you know, where you're from. That would probably be somewhere you'd see more independent coaches out there in different sports.
Definitely, yeah. I have a nephew, 2011 nephew, who plays GTHL, AAA, and he's played in a couple organizations there, Don Mills Flyers, North York Rangers, independent coaches. But they're also getting compensated fairly substantially, which is also the case, actually, in the soccer community here in Saskatchewan. It's a fairly common practice that these coaches and technical directors are being well compensated to be coaches, and that's what's allowing these clubs to keep parents from being the coaches. You know, and I think that there's something to be said for that in that sport as well.
Who do we got here on the text line? Getting a lot too personally on the old personal text line, but where's the one I want? I'm trying to find. Yeah, it's so the other thing is your kids, and my wife's an educator, so you know that there's that line too. It's like they need other people, and teachers do a fantastic job. Teachers do not get paid enough for what they do, but they need other kids to coach and instruct and help, because when they get to the real world, and I know it's a long ways away for a lot of kids, it's going to be a lot different. Like Gerald from Ituna, he messaged in and said, yeah, you know, some of these kids are going to have a tough time when they get into the real world and mommy and daddy aren't going to be around. So there's that as well. I don't know. And then do you see it with a lot of the coaching that you're doing? Do you see the parents' kids maybe getting more ice time than a lot of the, you know, you can speak candidly here.
Yeah, I think it's a complicated situation for sure. I think, you know, I mentioned it earlier with a guy like Travis Moen, but, you know, if a kid's going to be at the level regardless and you're a parent coach and that's just an also, I think those are great opportunities. I think it's the circumstances where coaches are taking teams at a higher tier than their child should probably be participating and bringing them along for the ride. And it causes conflict in one of two ways. They either have their kid, you know, over their skis,
yeah,
and they're struggling, or they're putting them in difficult situations and, you know, creating a negative situation for their child amongst their teammates or other parents on the team.
If my kids are listening right now, they're going to be like, yeah, dad, remember, like, I sit them all the time in flag football. Drives me insane. And I have the ability to do that. And it's like, no, you're going to learn a lesson here. Go sit down for the rest of the game. An hour in the books on the Sports Cage on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport. Take a break. A lot to get to when we come back. SJHL Report, Glenn Suter, CFL talk there, and then hour three, lots of good hockey. Marty Murray, Brandon Wee, Kings, Dwight King, Round Lake Bears, and striker Zablocki from the Regina Rebels. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport. Barney Shankaruk and Kellen with you. Our man Alan punching the buttons over there, keeping everything in line. An hour in the books. Coming up in hour two here, right away, we're going to have the SJHL report with Benny Walchuk, our clutch performer. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek fun one from last night in the National Hockey League. Glenn Suter, Suits, joins us in the back half of this hour. CFL news, especially out of Edmonton. Really interesting there with the possible sale of the Elks. Coming up in hour three still, head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings, Marty Murray, talking about the Wheat Kings, how they're grinding, trying to find a spot into the playoffs. We also go back with Marty, talk a bit about his days playing for the Brandon Wee Kings. He was a little guy. We talk about that. Man, did he put up points. He was a buzzsaw out there. Senior Hockey Report in hour three for all your senior hockey fans. Thanks for all the texts, too. You love us. We're covering that. On the heels of the Senior Hockey Report, Dwight King, two-time Stanley Cup champ from the Los Angeles Kings. He's playing for the Round Lake Bears from the Ochapaways First Nation. They get ready to take on Lumsden in Game 2 Saturday. Dwight King is going to hop in the cage with us. And then female Rebels star, female hockey star in the province these days. Originally from Prince Albert, now living in Regina, playing for the Rebels, striker Zablocki is going to join us. The last interview of the day on the Sports Cage. All right, Kellen, texts are coming in. You know, when is it a good time to call it quits as a coach when coaching your kid? And at what level? What competitive level, I guess? So then we had the Mark texted and said, my kid is an absolute dumpster fire. I have to coach him. I don't want to put that on anyone else. That is so true. And I appreciate when I'm coaching flag football, when a parent will be like, listen, buddy, I'm going to come, or pal, buddy or pal, I'm going to come and help you out because for practices, because this guy or this girl is going to be an absolute space cadet, and then they're going to draw everybody else into it, and you're not going to get a lot accomplished. So I'm going to help you out. And I go, I shake the hand of that person and say, thank you very much. Come on board for practices, because that is the self-awareness. I get it. And, you know, kids are different and they mature differently. The funny thing is my wife brought this up, and she is my biggest critic when it comes to coaching, because she deals with kids all the time since she was like 21 years old. And she just says, you know, this, they're thinking like this. They're thinking like this. I've learned a lot from her and speaking the kids' language. But the other thing that she mentioned, and I never really got this, but now I get it as my daughter gets older and my son's almost 2 years older. Son, sometimes, man, I'm like, is there a gas leak in your room? Like, where's your head? What is you thinking about? Whereas the daughter's a little more on the button, even though she's younger. And she says, yeah, the female brain, and that's how it is. It develops different. Just girls learn faster than boys at that age and the younger. And I see it when I'm coaching, you know, co-ed flag football. I'm like, well, these girls, they totally get it. Totally easy to coach. It's probably the same that you've seen in hockey and soccer and everything.
Yeah, and I think you were mentioning the parents, the have to be an assistant coach. I'm not reaching my hand out to shake that person's hand as much. And the reason I say that is, like, in a lot of those instances, or some of those instances, it's the parent who can't let go. Like, these kids are going to school all day unless their parents are sitting beside them at their desk, and it's the child's future, like, coming into the family business and working with dad. Like, if we got to cut the cord eventually here. Mm-hmm. So sports is, in my opinion, the greatest opportunity for kids to gain the skills that they need to be successful as independent adults. And not just sports, I shouldn't say, but obviously being the sports cage, but just getting involved in activities and doing stuff with kids your own age and growing and maturing. And for some kids, and I've had lots of people who have sent it to me, like, oh, I feel like that kid could grow so much more if they could get out of the shadow of their parent who always coaches them, because it's just an automatic. And I have at least one on my team this year who the dad came to me partway through the year, and he's like, this is the first time I haven't coached my kid. He's like, and it's awesome. It's awesome for me. It's awesome for him. He's like, we drive back and forth to the rink. We talk about things. He's like, and him getting a different insight and hearing a different voice has been really good for that specific situation. There are instances, I agree, where, you know, the kid's not ready to be coached by somebody else, but they have to be eventually, or, you know, we're just going to raise a whole bunch of second generationers.
I find though, too, like, especially hockey, because we're so tied to hockey. And, you know, the different rinks and the not practicing and having to drop your kids off. I find the dads really, really venture out and explore the taverns, the different taverns in Regina. It's like, all right, kids are practicing. We're going to meet at the Regent. We're going to meet at Western Pizza South. Let's go for a pint out in small towns as well, the small town hotels. It's super fun, and there's a lot of bonding that goes on with the parents as well. And usually the parents are sitting down and they're, you know, bitching and complaining about what the coach is doing and all that, and it's like, well, maybe you should coach. But yeah, it's a lot of work. It's an absolute grind. I see it. It's different, right? Because I really love the parents when it comes to flag football, and when I coach, that want to come and lend a hand because they know their kid, their Susie or Johnny, is going to be a handful. And yeah, we're opening it up. What do you think? 936-6262, the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. At what age should a parent back away or skill level and let their kid maybe be coached by somebody else? So, yeah, there's a few texts coming in here we'll get to in a minute. Now it's time to talk SJHL hockey. There's no SJ games tonight as a Thursday, but things really fire up again coming up tomorrow. Here is our friend from Yorkton, Benny Walchuk, with the SJ Report.
It's time for the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League Report on the Sports Cage. I'm Benny Walchuk. The SJHL is into its final week of the 2023-24 regular season, and it continued last night with one game on the schedule. Waver Red Wings went into Wilcox and the Big Ice beat the Notre Dame Hounds handily 7-2. Brendan Hunchak led the way for the Wings with a goal and two assists, while Blake Betson, Max Monette, Jacob Vizentini, Jerome Maharaj, Carter Brilt, and Lucas Schmid also scored for Waver, who had 29 saves from Angelo Zoll in the win. Waver with the victory pulled into sole possession of sixth place overall in the SJHL standings, 2 points clear of their Highway 39 rivals, the Estevan Bruins, and 3 points ahead of Kindersley entering the league's final weekend of the regular season. Speaking of the Red Wings, defenseman Colin Doherty announced a commitment to State University of New York at Geneseo for the next season. Doherty, who hails from Chicago, Illinois, joins the Wings from Amarillo of the North American Hockey League at the trade deadline this past year. The 6'1", 200-pound blue liner has 3 goals and 8 points in 22 games for Weyburn this campaign. The Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League takes the night off tonight. They'll return tomorrow with 5 games on the final Friday of the regular season. The teams continue to jockeying for position ahead of the Canterra Seeds Cup playoffs. Just a reminder, go to the SJHL.ca to vote for the SJHL's highlight of the year. 4 finalists include Connor Miller of the Humble Broncos, Jerome Maharaj of the Weyburn Red Wings, Adam Kelly of the Yorkton Terriers, and Harmon Laser-Hume of the Flin Flon Bombers, who traded miraculous saves in overtime in the Whitney Forum in late January, and Cody Jamin's stop on Humboldt star Spencer Bell in late February are the 4 finalists for the SJHL Highlight of the Year. You can vote at SJHL.ca for the Highlight of the Year. The winner will be announced in the SJHL Playoff Preview Show next Wednesday on the SJHL's social media platforms. That's today's edition of the SJHL Report on the Sports Cage. I'm Betty Walchuk.
We're talking sports on your way home. This is the Sports Cage on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. On Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina, Donnie and Tarrington have taken over. New owners, same goals, probably serving Regina and area for 35 years. Barney Shinkaruk and Kellen on the cage today. Maybe a time for a quick plug for our friends out in Wosley. The Junior C Mustangs take on Yellowgrass in a do or die 8 o'clock puck drop tomorrow, but get your eating pants on. 5:30, it's a wing night with craft products on sale before the game. There's also going to be a guaranteed 50-50 of 5 Hyundai and food bank drive. So people bring craft products, if possible, non-perishable food items for the food drive. And it's all to promote their bid to win Craft Hockeyville this year out in Wosley. So let's hope they can do it. Hey, you want to go to the Regina Spring Home Show? Or do you know someone that wants to go to the Regina Spring Home Show? Right now is your chance to text in 936-6262, the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. It's Thursday. The keyword today is design. Text design. And they're going to pick a winner every day before 6 o'clock, and then they'll let you know if you got 2 tickets to the Regina Home Show. That is March 22nd to 24th. Big event here in Regina. A lot of people like taking that in. It reminds me of Pocket Dogs as soon as I think of the Regina Spring Home Show. The smell of a new hot tub and Pocket Dogs down there at the old Real campus. The text line 936-6262. Keep them coming. When should you call it quits coaching your kid? Doesn't matter what sport. Got a basketball one here from Curtis. I think I know him. He was a really good basketball player and said, my kid gets independent coaching, and I love it. And he has come so far Like, obviously, the dad still gives, you know, a little bit, especially if you played the sport, you give a little bit. My thing for my kid, I'm probably a little bit harder on the boy than the girl because the boy needs a kick in the pants sometimes. I'm a big, there's a consequence. If you're not putting in the effort, because that's the one thing I wish I would have been, this would have been driven into my head when I was younger. That's the one thing you can control is effort. Puck's not going to bounce your way, you know, bad ref call, blah, blah, blah. But effort every time you're on the ice. And if that's not there, then there's a consequence at home. And it's usually taking away a phone or a video game or there's some sort of regimented chore list and all that. It's worked. Now, I don't know. Am I crazy? Am I wrong for doing that? But that's the thing that I do, and it seems to work. As for the girl, effort's never a problem. Effort's never a problem there, which I love. And amazing coaching staff of dads in Adam, or I guess it's called U11. Now, and you've seen it, you know, it's they work, all coaches, don't get me wrong, all coaches put in so much time, like I said, and at the end of the year it's like, here's your Sobeys gift card, thank you very much. It's like, man, that is a lot of hours. And you said you've been on the ice over 100 times.
Yeah, we've been busy this winter for sure, but it's a labor of love. It's what I always tell people, especially as an independent, to get out on the road, get out on the ice with the kids. It's a good excuse. You talk about basketball, and again, I know I've gone back and forth. I call myself the Switzerland of the answer, but you know, in basketball in the Regina landscape, we have a parent on our team again, Jana Schweitzer, who's arguably the greatest Cougar women's basketball player of all time. And she's coaching locally with all of her kids, both the boys and her daughter, Abby. And, you know, I don't think there's any age when you are an elite player who also, you know, is a good coach that you want to move those people away from coaching, even if it means they have to have their kids in the mix. So, you know, I'm a conflicted answer on this. I think at the top tier, it's got to really come down to whether the player is there independent of their parent. At the other tiers, I 100% believe that parents should continue to coach at the second and third tiers, because it's, you know, those sports don't happen without parents stepping up. There aren't enough independents out there to run with it.
Parents, it's like reffing as well. It's like, yeah, a little bit thin. Who do we got here? Harold. Out in the hold fast way, says, not much when you get to the small towns. You know, parents have to coach. There isn't a lot of independence. Totally get that. And it's, you know, back on the Monday Nooner on the podcast side, and you talk to a lot of these NHL guys, and, you know, we got Marty Murray coming up in hour three. He talks about how his dad coached him as a young kid, and the lessons he learned from his dad. Ryan Hodgins, who had on with Sharky on Tuesday, head coach of the Regina Pat Canadians. I remember playing against him in Adam and Pee Wee, and he was in, he played for Battleford. Man, they had a really good team out there, and then we'd battle them all the time, and his dad, Don, would coach, and then Don coached the football team and had a good, you know, they had a really good team as well. And Ryan will say, like, he learned so much from his dad. He still leans on his dad. He still asks his dad questions, and he's doing a heck of a job with the Regina Pat Canadians. In case you're wondering, they are back in action tonight. Game number two against the Swift Current Legionnaires. Pat Canadians won 6-2 in game number one, which was on Tuesday night. Jonas Sivertsen, 2 goals and 1 assist for the Pat Seas. And again, Taylor Tabashniuk in net, stopping 30 of 32. So the Pat Canadians are rolling. Nothing against Swift, because I love the Swift area. We're getting messages here from people in Cadillac, Gull Lake. Love the Southwest. Loved my time in Swift. I got to get out there and golf. Again, I haven't played those golf courses in a long time. Little Wong's. Oh, that's a nice meal right there. But I'm really curious. Pat sees Blazers. Blazers are up 1-0 on Tisdale. Just to watch the Boyker kid from the Blazers.
Yeah, what a unique situation. And I didn't realize till this week when it got announced that, you know, he's, you know, obviously played for Team Saskatchewan, was on the Humboldt team last year in Bantam AA that beat the Regina Aces, coached by Ryan Hodgins in the provincial final. Moved up, played a game last year with Warman in Midget AAA, went over, played with the Blazers this year, and then, boom, he's going to U.S. National Development Team Camp. Comes out of left field. He's obviously a first-round pick of the Lethbridge Hurricanes of the Western Hockey League. From everything that I read online, it's kind of a U.S. National Development has always been his first choice. And obviously, they live here, and if he makes that, then that's what he'll do, and he'll follow that path. And if he doesn't, then he sort of has the Western Hockey League as an opportunity to, you know, to play up here in Canada.
Yeah, you are hearing this right. I think the family, and his Dane's his name. His dad was Dean Boyker, played Western Hockey League, Saskatchewan Huskies, a little bit of minor pro, really good hockey player. And Dane is 15 years old, led the U18 AAA League in scoring this year with the Saskatoon Blazers. And he has committed to the U.S. Development Program, which runs out of Michigan. So it's a unique. That's a one. That's the first time that's ever happened. And why he can do it, obviously, he's a dual citizen. His mom is from the States. Dean played WHL in that area, so that's the connection. It's like, how does this kid from, like, Watson, Saskatchewan, or, you know, going to play that? I can't wait to hear more about the story. Can't wait to watch him play. I haven't watched him play live. That's going to be, you know, something else if those two teams clash. Junior B, want to give these guys a shout out too. Coming up Saturday, it's the South Final, Game 1, Capitals, Pilot Butte. The number one team, the number two team, they shake it down. 7:45, Game 1 in Pilot Butte. That rink will be a rockin'.
Yeah, they matched up last year as well in that series. I got out to a couple games. A good friend of mine, Hunter Wood, that's playing with the Capitals. Great kid, great team. So I'm hopeful. And yeah, it's great hockey. I sort of dipped my toe in towards the president of that league last year and wasn't able to pull it off due to commitments to my own work. But yeah, that the PJHL is a great league, and those two teams are just full of kids that have played minor hockey in Regina and area.
Yeah, no, it'll be a good one. After the break, CFL football time, Glenn Suter is joining us on the Sports Cage. It is the home of sports in Saskatchewan on 620 CKRM.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Sports Cage. Now back to the action on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
Collective Soul, 4:35, Regina, Saskatchewan, Thursday, March 14th, and the Sports Cage is for extreme hockey and sport. Barney Schenker, Kellen Enslev, halfway through the program. So much still to come. Glenn Suter is waiting. We're going to get to Glenn right away, but first, it's time for the Sports Cage Clutch Performer. And it's for Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogainer, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077. Little bit of a change of script today, Kellen. We're going with referee last night in Colorado. Former WHL ref, Kellen says, Kyle Raymond.
So we'll go 4-on-4 for 53 seconds.
Go to the box, please. Go to the box, please. Now. Kelly, 43, 2 minute minor interference.
Go to the box, please. Go to the box, please. That was Kyle Raymond. If you haven't seen the video, it's absolutely hilarious. We'll put it up on the Sports Cage Twitter. Telling Quinn Hughes to go to the box with his mic live. Oh, that's great. Yeah, Kyle Raymond's our clutch performer for Nick's Service. It is time for the Glenn Suter segment. Press coverage for Quality Tire, 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. Glenn, did you hear the clip? What did you think of that one?
I loved it. Absolutely love it. Using complete manners and professionalism, but saying, yeah, yap all you want. Get to the box, please.
That probably does happen in football, I guess, with the live mic and all that. And back when you played, the ref wasn't probably mic'd up, I would think. But it's got to happen a lot in the football ranks as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, back where I used to line up as a safety, there was always that back judge. I would always and deliberately try to get to know all of them in the league, just in case there was one borderline call somewhere along the way that they go, you know what, we just talked about our kids in the break. I'm going to let this one slide.
Yeah. So, you've been listening to The Cage. You listen out there in Vancouver. We love it. We see the numbers, the streaming numbers from the West Coast go up when Suits is on. And you wanted to chime in, right? Like, on what do you think on the coaching your kids? And I guess it's a slippery slope. To what level and to what age where you say, nope, now it's time for them to be coached by somebody else?
I think it's been an excellent discussion. I've been riveted all day and listening in. And yes, it's a great discussion that really doesn't have a real, black or white or yes or no answer, or even a certain age group or number. But it starts with a huge thank you to all of the communities and all of the cities, and that includes big cities too, that don't have a qualified coach, but a parent steps up so that kids can still play soccer or hockey or football or whatever it may be, and that the parent steps up and the parent knows that they are, treading water at best, and really don't know how to coach. However, without them, there might be the cancellation of a league or an age group or whatever. So that is a crucial element to amateur sport in our country, is the volunteer parents. So a huge shout out to them. But having said that, I really believe it comes down to your level of qualification. So, basically, if you played hockey in your life, but you've never coached it, or you never coached anything, and you're, again, these are loose and fast, but and you're teaching kids that are just new to the game, and they're getting their mom and dad to put on their skates for them and things like that, you're basically babysitting anyway. You're allowing the kids to go out and have a ton of fun, and trying to teach them some skill along the way, and maybe an assistant can help you in those cases. But as they get older and they start to branch off, in other words, specialize, and we see a lot of that, which is in a lot of ways too bad, but they specialize into one sport or two more than, how it used to be where we played everything.
Yeah.
Now I think the level of expertise from the parent that may be stepping in is crucial, and that's where it's weird, because my son played football at a young age because dad did, and I never coached him in football, and never even I always said to the coaches that were coaching him, if you ever want me to come in and help, I can, but I never interfered. Mm-hmm. And there were many times where there were coaches that really didn't know the game, but wanted to volunteer their time, that I never interfered. I never questioned it. I never went to the coach and say, you're doing it wrong. I never had my son in the car on the way home say, don't listen to your coach. And if I could get one thing across in all of this discussion today, please, as parents, no matter how bad you think your coach is, do not drive home with your kid and tell them not to listen to their coach, that the coach doesn't know what he's doing. Please do not do that, because your son or daughter at some point is going to encounter a boss that doesn't know what they're doing, or a teacher that might not know what they're doing. And they're going to have to pass those courses too. So they're going to have to learn how to do that, even though there might not be the expertise there. So, it's a fantastic discussion that has so many tentacles to it.
Yeah.
But you know, I coached my kid in hockey for like 8 years, but I never coached him in football, which is completely bizarre. And what I did in hockey is I got, as assistant coaches, I got guys that knew the game really well, better than me, so that they could teach skating skills, puck handling skills, all of those things. And I would be the guy that sort of brought the team together in a bigger picture way.
You were the glue guy as a coach. Everybody needs that guy, right? No, you know what's interesting? Not to go off on this topic, but I know a really good friend here in Regina. A parent, he almost had to step in and coach a high school basketball team a few years ago because no teachers were going to do it. And I've never heard of that, where a high school, some sort of school, would reach out to a parent to coach. So yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a thankless job. I've probably been the pigeon parent, which a lot of times has been like, what are they doing, all that, but I really try and refrain myself, because it is a thankless job, like you said. All right, let's get into some CFL talk here, Glenn. And the Edmonton situation with the ownership, what do you know? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, first of all, this announcement that actually came from the team, too. I think Dave Naylor at TSN was ahead of the story, too. But it was one that sort of reaffirmed what they said back in November, that they were going to explore private ownership in Edmonton. And, I think this announcement, while it sounds like more and more traction is getting gained here through this idea and this discussion, that we're getting closer to the possibility that it might be real. So that's the first thing, that this was discussed back in November, and they said they were going to explore it. Now, you know, I think maybe the most important aspect of this discussion is that the league is in a positive position. It's more in a position of strength than it has been in past years to make this transition, because you can make an argument for private ownership or you can make an argument for public ownership, and there's a lot of good things and some bad in both of those discussions. But what you want to do if you're going to make this change is to do it from a position more of strength. And when you think of, you know, 9 million people that watched the Grey Cup, that tuned in on television, that ratings were up by 15%, and in the major demographics, they were up by more than 50, and, 35,000 people traveled to Hamilton to go to the Grey Cup and the celebration there. So when you think of those kind of metrics and those numbers and how it's trending in the right direction, I would say it's a good time for this discussion to go on. And now the question is it a good idea?
Yeah.
To go private?
Yeah, Glenn, and Kellen here. You sort of were running through some metrics there, and one of the ones I saw in that same article was the economic impact of the Grey Cup in Hamilton last year was $73.5 million. So there's also an element there of, you know, if they are looking at a change of ownership in Edmonton, it is common of new owners and people taking over to try to jump in head first to try to get a major event to sort of really launch their stake in ownership. Do you see, if there is a change there, Edmonton being somebody who might be looking at, you know, Grey Cup 112, 113 in the upcoming years to sort of put their stamp on it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think there's no question that a new owner would try to work that into the deal, with the league and the league office being involved in that as well. I mean, Amar Doman is a great example of that exactly. I mean, the Grey Cup in year two of his, it's year two, is it year two or three? I think this upcoming season is year two, right? Of Amar Doman in Vancouver. And he will have the Grey Cup this year. But, you know, I mean, there is examples more recently of the success of a private owner. If a private owner comes in and is in for the right reason and is in for the long haul, which Mr. Doman has said, anytime a mic is on in front of him, he will tell you that he's not going anywhere, that he's going to grow this for the province and to strengthen the game in our in the province of BC, and to strengthen the game nationally from the top down. and because the pro level is the top level. So he's in it for the right reasons. And when you have that with innovation, you've got an owner that can make great things happen. And he's already turned the corner in BC and heading in the right direction. However, if you go back further, guys, we know of examples of bad ownership. And a private owner, when it's just one guy, and that's where the buck stops on his desk, one guy can pull the rug out from under you really quickly if he just decides, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm leaving, I'm going to fold the team. So like I said, you can make an argument, good and bad, for both directions. I'm just glad that it's happening at a time when the league is trending in the right direction, has a long-term player agreement, and numbers are going in the right direction, so that an owner looks at it as a real value buy and not necessarily a desperation move by the team to go from public to private.
You talk about everything moving in the right direction, and sort of a conversation that comes up almost every year is expansion. What more can the CFL done, or what are they looking for the CFL to do for the Atlantic Schooners to sort of take that big jump and become the new CFL franchise?
Yeah, I think the first thing they could do, and I'm sure they already have, is to send everyone in government, everyone that's discussed this at every level, you know, municipal, federal, all the provincial, and send them the email on economic impact of a Grey Cup in your city or in your region. Mm-hmm. And show them the actual numbers of how many tourists arrive when the Grey Cup Championship happens, that it's a week-long event, not just one day. That you are, throughout your regular season home games, you are featuring on national television your region, and tourism will benefit big time. All of those numbers have to be sold constantly to any potential new city or new region to get expansion across the goal line. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to, the funding. And it comes down to the stadium, and it comes down to, you know, the fire in their bellies to go get it done. The understanding what's possible if you have the venue. If you build it and you put a team there, and then you put a soccer team there, and then you can run major events there, and just think how prosperous your region, more prosperous your region can be financially for a lot of different reasons.
I've been to Halifax, Cape Breton, and luckily enough, last year, wife had a conference in Charlottetown. Unbelievable. Small little place. But in the Maritimes, is Halifax the player? Like, let's say it was a video game, Glenn, and you could put a team, and you owned it, and you had to make money and all that. Where would you put the team?
I'd put it in the Maritimes.
Which part?
It's a great question. I don't know the regions enough to give you an educated answer on it would be a better fit in. I just, you know, Halifax is the main hub.
Yeah.
I know that selfishly, if I have said this many times, but selfishly, if you ever want to buy a pair of shoes in Halifax, I'm not sure where you go, but if you want to buy a beer, there's lots of opportunity
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
It's a real fun city. It's, you know, a college town in a lot of ways. You've got soccer that is coming along in that region, and you know, a chance to really sort of, again, open things up and bring a lot of national attention to that region that doesn't get it net right now.
Yeah.
And so I going coast to coast too, guys, is big. I mean, you're in every region of the country now. So I like it. Quebec City's there. I'm not sure about Vancouver Island.
I don't know if that's the no offense, but a lot of floppy toques and soy lattes there. I don't know if they're it's the football place. Like I love the Halifax thing. You got the casino, right? Everything. Let's be honest, gambling's a big thing down by the water. Like you said, you got the entertainment, the bars and the restaurants, lots of hotels. I think that would be the no brainer. Okay, last question here, Glenn Suter on the Western Pizza Hotline joining us. I read the story yesterday, and I'm not so sure if this is common, but I thought it was actually really interesting. Saskatchewan Huskies defensive back Catley Joseph, he's attending the Syracuse Pro Day, Syracuse University Pro Day. So he played 2 years in Maine, that whole COVID thing, you know, hacked that up. Then he came up, had a really good last 2 years playing for the University Huskies. Is that a common? He's 185 pounds, 5'10". Common for a player, for a kid to go and get a pro day with a team that he has no ties to?
There must be some connection somewhere along the way, I would think. Mm-hmm. It's not very common, I don't believe. It can happen, though. Like, if you knew a coach that moved and you said, hey, I just want to get in front of the scouts. I mean, you know, I'm certain there are times when players who may have, for whatever reason, maybe an injury or something, missed their own pro day and then, you know, looked ahead to where the NFL scouts might be in the future and then made the call. And I'm sure there's not many coaches in the nation on both sides of the border that would turn down a kid from coming and just running a 40 and doing some verticals and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like this kid has a great resume when it comes to, you know, being a real playmaker in the college level. And, you know, if you test well in these camps or whatever you want to call them, these pro days, then you can get a shot at getting drafted in the NFL. They are so heavy into the test results, which again is another thing. I'm not sure if I was running a team, guys, I would even run 40s. if you played high level college football, other than to be able to say to the media, you know, this guy's a 4.2.
Yeah.
I don't really see any reason to run a 40. I mean, show me what you can do on the field. Show me what you do in the locker room. Show me if you can make plays. Yeah. It matters.
Well, it's like my buddy in high school. He's like, why are we doing bench press? It's like, why aren't we doing dips or chin-ups or something like that? It's always bench press. Hey, Glenn, so much fun again today. I know you like your senior hockey talk, so you want to keep tuned an hour through. We got two-time Stanley Cup champ Dwight King, who's playing senior hockey in Saskatchewan. So you want to tune in for that. And thanks so much for hopping on again, buddy, today.
Hey, I'm on the football line in our beer league team. So I'm here. I'm listening. I'll be listening in. We call it the football line. That tells you how many times we score in a year.
Press coverage, Glenn Suter. Thanks so much. Always for Quality Tire. 9 locations across Saskatchewan. QualityTire.ca. That is. We're going to take a break here. Come back. More chat. And, of course, senior hockey talk and other hockey talk. You're listening to the voice and the home of sports in Saskatchewan. 620 CKRM.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. One more hour with you on Thursdays, always for Extreme Hockey and Sport. Donnie and Tarrington have taken over. New owners, same goals, proudly serving Regina and area for 35 years. Kellen had to split. He's on his way. Speaking of coaching, U13 AA Tier 2, Buffaloes, Moose Jaw tonight at the Burt Hunt in Moose Jaw. Run a nice concession there, to be honest with you, if you're heading there. I think 7 p.m. puck drop, a do-or-die game. Good luck to Kellen and the Buffs against Moose Jaw tonight. Texts are coming in on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. If you're just tuning in and driving home, it's been awesome. Glenn Suter even chiming in, and he loved it. At what age and at what level do you say, nope, independent coaches, basketball, football, soccer, volleyball, cricket, hockey, whatever it is? At what point should your child be coached by somebody else to get them ready for real life, right? I don't know. It's there's not a right or wrong answer. We're getting a ton of messages. Larry up in Saskatoon. This one's awesome. I was a coordinator for baseball 1 year. U11 kids. I called a meeting. There was no coach. I called a meeting, dropped the bag at home plate, waiting for a parent to grab it. that's a strong play, Larry up in Saskatoon. Brad from Saskatoon. Love the Stooners chiming in. When you're from Saskatoon and you message a sports cage when I'm on, you got to let me know if you're east side or west side. He taught and coached in East Central Saskatchewan for over 30 years and involved in SHSAA my entire career. It's happened a lot more in the last 10 to 12 years. Some new teachers don't want to teach. They're busy with their job. I think he means they don't want to coach. Very diverse classrooms these days. So, yeah, I didn't know that parents are coaching in high schools. Like I said, friend here in Regina a few years ago got asked to coach the basketball team, or they weren't going to have a basketball team. I won't say the school, but it kind of caught me off guard. So always can chime in, 936-6262. No Western Hockey League tonight. Tomorrow, Pats in action, and there are some doozies as teams try and make the playoffs. Earlier today, I caught up with an absolute legend back in the 90s, playing in the Western Hockey League and now coaching in the Western Hockey League, head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings. On the Western Pizza Hotline, joining us from the Keystone Center in Brandon, Manitoba, head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings, Marty Murray. Marty, thanks so much for joining us. It's a busy time for you guys. You're 7 points up on Calgary, who's in ninth. PA Lethbridge only 2 points back of you. It's an exciting time, right? Because you don't have the X beside your name yet. That means you're in the playoffs. So there's a lot of stress, but it's super exciting, isn't it?
It's super exciting, but very stressful, and an old coach, that's for sure. It'd be nice to get that X beside our name, and we've been close, and we've kind of left some points on the table here as of late, so that's been a little frustrating, but it's certainly the playoff race for sure. Like I said, it'd be nice to put it to bed, but we still have some work to do.
I guess it's probably pretty tough, and I want to get to the Eastern Conference in a bit, but is it paramount, to try and not finish eighth and play Saskatoon? But then it's kind of like murderer's row, right? You got Swift there, you got Moose Jaw, Medicine Hat. It's extremely tough. Like, what's the mindset? Is it just let's just get in, or let's get as high as we can?
Yeah, I think it's get in, and whoever we face in the first round is going to be a tough opponent, right? It's shaping up to be either Saskatoon, Swift, Moose Jaw, Med Hat. Like, they're all really good teams. We probably struggled the most against Medicine Hat. We were 1-4 in the season, and we've actually played some good hockey against Saskatoon. We're, I think the season series was 3-5, and actually played them pretty hard. So, we have confidence who we play against, but any way you slice it, there's going to be some high end players we're going to have to deal with if we get in. And like I said, at this point, we're just focused on getting that X beside her name and playing as well as we can, and the chips fall where they may.
So kind of follow me on this one. You're, like I said, you're 7 points up on Calgary, so odds are you're probably going to make the postseason. Do you coach to try and get the points at, whatever cost? And are you building more for the postseason, saying, well, maybe there's a load management thing with this guy, maybe not as much ice time, maybe we play this guy because we're going to need to play him a lot in the playoffs? Like, how are you coaching right now?
Like, coaching in the moment, you're coaching, like we've touched on, we don't have that X beside our name yet. So you're coaching in the moment to try to, put the best players out there that you can think give our team the best chance of succeeding at the time, and that might be an offensive situation or a defensive situation, and sometimes it's both for certain players. So, right now our philosophy hasn't changed. It would be nice to be, comfortable in a playoff position so you didn't have to worry about that, and you could peel back a little bit, but, for us, we don't have that luxury, and it's 100% all in all the time.
If you look back at, let's say, September, where did you think this team would be?
I think you want to be, realistic. Probably middle of the pack would be probably, where we'd hope to be in the conference. And, things change at the deadline a little bit. Some teams loaded up, Saskatoon, Swift, and Moose Jaw, they loaded up. And, we made that difficult decision at that time to, be realistic and kind of understand where we're at as an organization, where our strengths are in certain age groups. And we made the very difficult decision to move Nate Danielson. I always say the coach really dislikes the GM after that happened, but there's lots of times where You know, you think to yourself, boy, it'd be nice to have Nate in this situation. So, you know, it's tough, you know, in the moment, but, you know, you look long-term for our organization. Hopefully it's a move that pays dividends on the road.
Yeah, the Nate move, you know, I get it. Good Saskatchewan boy, you know, parents from Vanscoy, and they had a, you know, the World Juniors and all that. But yeah, you know, that just made sense for the organization. Now, maybe a question here is what surprises on the good side as far as players on your team this year that, you know, maybe exceeded expectations for you?
Yeah, you know, I think some guys have made some nice strides. You know, we feel the strength of our organization, the 06 age group, and you know, I think Charlie Alex taking some nice steps on the back end, and you know, he's going to be a pretty good defenseman in this league, not only now but especially in his 18, 19 year old year. And you know, Roger McQueen's another one. I think he went from 14 points last year as a 16. He kind of struggled a little bit to find his way to a point a game guy, and he's been dearly missed in our lineup here. You know, one of the reasons when we traded Danielson, when we did, was we felt McQueen could slide in there, and he's ready to take on that first line center responsibility, which he's shown the ability to do that. But you know, he's been on the shelf for over 3 weeks now. We miss him this time of year, but hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel with getting him back in, which will be huge to our lineup. And then, you know, Caleb Howland's another kid that, you know, as a 16-year-old, he suffered a pretty serious injury and felt like he's really come along here in year two. And, you know, I think there's some good positive signs here of signs of things to come, and excited about, you know, our future with not only guys that are eligible to return, but those coming into the organization, coming to play for a team next year as well.
Yeah, I think you guys are in a good spot going forward. All right, let's have some fun here. 1994-95, you had 128 points in the WHL for the Brandon Wheat Kings. In 96-97, Frank Banham had 152 points for the Blades. So you played against him in 94-95. His jersey was just raised to the rafters in at the SaskTel Center in Saskatoon. What do you remember about Frankie, Marty?
Just he's a, you know, prolific goal scorer. He, you know, I remember Frank being having some swagger. You know, they had
nice salad. He had nice salad, right?
And DL had some. Nice chemistry, and you know, I think at the time they had Clark Willem and those guys. That was a pretty good line. And you know, the year before I left, it would have been 19. You know, those guys were just starting to hit their peak, and then obviously the following year kind of exploded a little bit. But yeah, Frankie was one of those guys that you know, he and I battled a little bit, quite a bit, you know, during the playing days. And I didn't like him that much. He probably didn't like me. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where we've actually kind of, you know, had quite a few conversations over the years. And, yeah, you know, put that aside and learn about the person off the ice. And he's a real, real good person. And I've got to know him a little bit, and you know, respect what he did as a player, and even more, he's a real nice human being.
I remember, you know, you playing against the Saskatoon Blades and going in there and terrorizing, and you were just this little guy, and it's like, how is this guy making it happen here in the 90s? What's the smallest you played in the Western Hockey League? Probably your first year going in, like legit, what was the smallest?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I my first year, you know, I was always 5'9". I kind of stopped growing at like 14 height wise, but I was always had trouble keeping weight on. And I, my first year as a 16-year-old, I came in at a whopping 160. And by the time the season ended, I think I weighed out at 148 at the end of the season. I, you know, we were not very good my first year in Brandon, so I got to play quite a bit as a 16-year-old and gain that experience. But in that, it was hard to maintain the weight, so I dropped about 12 pounds for the season. I remember coming home about 148, I was kind of skin and bones, and realized I had to put some weight on to have a chance to succeed at this level.
Those were the big, like, hey, you got to get on the creatine, you got to take this protein powder, ultimate orange,
exactly. Anything.
Yeah, anything to put on some weight. I remember, you know, when Central Scouting used to come in and weigh us in, and, you know, I think it was my draft eligible year, which, you know, I was probably 158 or 160 and staying up all night to try to pound water. Like, it made a big difference to to be 159 instead of 157, right?
Yeah, here's a funny story from the podcast. When Colby Armstrong was in Red Deer, and I think they were just doing it for the team, and they got to weigh with their equipment on, Colby's dad, who scouts now, put metal plates in his pants, so he had a little extra weight.
Oh, yeah.
Old Wayner.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of those stories. I don't know if we ever did it, but yeah, guys would put like quarters under their socks and their heels to gain, you know, some height, and you know, the skate lace with some weights tied around their waist, whatever he could do to get that edge. And for me, you look back on it, it's kind of silly, but like I said, because you're hoping to go from 156 to 159, like, it's, you know, it's a major difference.
You know, and now that you're coaching in the league, right? Like, and my kid's 12, 13, so he's going into Bantam next year. Obviously, it's a little more acceptable, the smaller player, but still, size and speed is so important. But it is a little more acceptable, right, to have that 140-some-pound kid at 5'8", 5'9".
For sure. And, you know, even at the NHL level, there's guys succeeding. You know, I kind of wish I would have had the opportunity to play in this era, but the old days of, you know, the way guys back checked was they would, you know, grab on and water ski you down the ice. That's how you picked up your guy in the back check, right? And nowadays you have that relief, and guys aren't allowed to get a stick on you. So, you know, it's the game's changed for sure. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, just the way the game is, to me, it doesn't matter if you're 5'9" or 6'4". It's whoever comes out of the corner with the puck. When there's a 50-50 puck, that's the guy I want on my team.
Marty Murray, head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline here. Just a couple more for you, Marty. Going back to that, do you know who another guy that would like to play on your line in this day and age is? Dale Durkach, the unbelievable Pats weapon from the 80s, right? Because I don't know how that guy survived back in the day. But Wes, as far as coaching go, was coaching always a play for you, you know, down when your career was done?
Yeah, you know, like, hockey's life, right? You grow up around it, and, you know, when you... It's kind of leaves a pit in your stomach when your career's over and you're trying to face reality of getting out in the real world. So, you know, to have the opportunity to still be involved in the game, either on a managerial side or a coaching side, that's, you know, it's fun. It's as close as we can get to still playing and, you know, being around the kids on a daily basis and helping them along the way. That's what it's all about. And like I said, for me to come full circle, you know, a place that I'm passionate about and played here and owe a lot to the organization for helping me both on and off the ice. You know, it's nice to be here to help this generation, you know, get as best as possible both on and off the ice.
And last one for you, was there a coach throughout your career, maybe it's minor hockey, junior, you played a lot of pro as well, is there a coach that you find yourself, you know, I guess mimicking or, you know, adopting their traits a bit?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that influence you throughout your career, both from youth hockey to you know, your last game of pro. And you know, you probably draw a little bit from everybody. And, you know, you look back and your youth coaches, my dad coached me, you know, a lot growing up. And I owe him a lot for that and sacrificed a lot for me. And, you know, there's a gentleman named Alan Lee who played some pro hockey for my era. He was older and didn't have any kids in the program, but he coached me a lot growing up. And, you know, he was a true pro, and, you know, those things rub off on you. And then you move into, you know, the junior hockey world, and, you know, Bobby Lowe's was demanding and hard, but at the same time, a guy that, you know, I felt really molded me into a player ready for pro. And obviously Kelly, having his fingertips and everything was another one that really influenced me. And Mark Johnson, who we lost here this winter, you know, those three guys, you know, playing for the Wheat Kings really did a ton for me, not only on the ice but off the ice as well. And, you know, you move on to the pro ranks. I mean, had guys like Jim Playfair that is in Prince George now. You know, won a Calder Cup with him, and you know, when I had the opportunity to play in the NHL, you play for guys like Bill Barber, who I thought was the ultimate players coach, and you know, then play under Ken Hitchcock, who's you know probably one of the best X and O minds in the game has seen. So you play for a lot of different people, and you hopefully can draw on some of the things that they did that you appreciated, and you obviously you got to be true to yourself, but at the same time use that experience that you had with those coaches that influenced your game throughout the years.
Right on. All right, Marty. Well, let's hope you get that X beside your name here in the coming nights.
So.
And thanks for taking time to hop on the Sports Cage today.
You bet, Bernie. Thanks.
You're listening to the radio home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport. Barney Shinkirk here with you. It's now time for the Senior Hockey Report for Synergy AG, your crop input retailer, locations all across Saskatchewan. See what Synergy AG can do for you. Joining us from the Monday Nooner podcast, Brandon Bosler's back. And Boz, I know we're going to get to Dwight King and the Round Lake Bears after the news at the bottom of the hour. So let's maybe talk about the other provincial A series. Keniston Watrous. Keniston up 1-0 as they go back home to try and sweep the Winter Hawks.
That's right. Yeah, game two in Keniston Saturday night, 7:30 at the Keniston Arena. You know, it's going to be full in there. It's a small barn. It's some rivals there, not too far away, Watrous and Keniston, so they'll look to punch their ticket to the provincial final. Saturday, game three, if necessary, would go back and watch us on Sunday. So that series is going to wrap up this weekend no matter what happens.
No B this year. We've talked about it on the show, so we go to C, and there's some absolute dandies there as well. Semifinal game two, Saturday, 5 p.m. in Kyle. Carnduff is up 1-0 in that one. They won at home. Were you a little bit surprised that Carnduff pulled it out, or is Carnduff the real deal?
Yeah, I think everybody was a little bit surprised. Kyle would have been the favorite going into that, although Carnduff is a perennial provincial power in Provincial C. But a 6-3 win at home, I know they've got some other pickups from the Big Six, so a good team. And like you mentioned, Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock actually in Kyle. And then if Kyle gets the win, Carnduff will sleep over in Kyle and play game three on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Oh.
And the winner of that going to get the Wilkie Outlaws, who are waiting patiently in the final already after they beat Dinsmore in two straight. The Outlaws haven't lost in a calendar year.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, Wilkie's punched their ticket. They're on an absolute heater. And then the Marriott and Kyle is going to be a busy place. Okay, let's go to D. Saturday, we got Redvers hosting Foam Lake. 1-0 in the series there for Redvers out of the Big Six.
Yeah, double overtime win in game one in Foam Lake. Ryan Regal, who plays for the Rokenville Tigers, I believe, pick up for Redvers in Provincial, scored the double OT winner. So a lot of people had Foam Lake as the favorite. So Redvers gets a chance to close it out at home. You know, that's going to be a rowdy crowd on Saturday. And then if it does go three games, I would be back in Foam Lake on Monday night.
And then the last one in D, Macklin controlled things. They took care of Delisle 5-1. That one goes back Saturday, 8 p.m. You're predicting a sweep there for the Mohawks?
Yeah, with all due respect to Delisle, I don't think Macklin's going to have any trouble there on Saturday on the road. I think it's always the Mohawks.
Always the Mohawks. Monday Nooner podcast, you catch it anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Listen to the Senior Hockey Top 10 this week. And then you got a regular show this week. Maybe tee up that for the people.
Yeah, full episode coming out tomorrow. Former Regina Pats great Frank Kovacs going to be joining us recording that tonight. So we'll be releasing that interview tomorrow
right
on all the platforms.
Right on, Brandon. Drive safe. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Take care.
That is the Senior Hockey Report for Synergy AG. Time for a break. When we come back, Dwight King after the break. You're listening to the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan's best coverage of the Saskatchewan Roughriders is on the Sports Cage, right here on the mighty 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the sports cage. Barney Schoenkirk now flying solo. We got Alan on the other side of the board punching the numbers. Kellen, like I said, he's on his way to the big U13 AA Tier 2 clash in Moose Jaw. The Regina Buffaloes, Moose Jaw, 7 p.m. at the Burt Hunt. Winner take all. And then the winner moves on to play Saskatoon. It's always for Extreme Hockey and Sport on Thursday, 2024. New owners, Donnie and Tarrington, have taken over, and same goals, same great service, serving Regina and community for over 35 years. Capital Ford Lincoln text line. If you're just tuning in here driving home, we had some great debate. People chiming in, still time if you want to get in, 936-6262. We were asking, what age or what level of sport is it time for a parent to call it quits and let your coach be coached by an independent or someone else? We know it's difficult, especially in smaller communities. You don't have a lot of options. Parents got to step up. It's a tough one. And coaches put in so much time. It is so, so hard. And what do they get at the end of the year? A Bonanza gift card, maybe a gift card to the local tavern for all the hours. Like Kellen said, he's been on the ice over 100 times already this year. Dwayne, love this one, chimed in on the text line. I coached my children up until the family intervention was held. I get it. Yeah, it's tough. I coach my kids. Leave the hockey alone, leave the soccer alone. Partially soccer because I have no idea anything about the sport. Love watching it when my daughter's playing. Love watching it World Cup-wise. Other than that, man, I can't tell you what an offside is in soccer. Kind of get it. The flopping? Oh, man. But I do it in flag, and I'm telling you, when a parent comes up to me and says, you are going to have... you're going to have your hands full. My kid's an absolute dumpster fire. I'm going to help you coach, especially when it comes to practices. I shake that guy or girl's hand and say, come on, jump on board, because they have the self-awareness. They know their kids are difficult to coach. Not all kids are the same. Kids mature different. You know, some kids, a lot of kids don't want to be there sometimes, which is the unfortunate thing. So then you got to make it interesting. You got to keep them engaged. But then you got this other group of kids that love being there at a high level. So it's a juggling act. Now, just think when you get to a higher level of basketball, I think it was Trevor that texted in too about basketball and saying, I coached my kid because I was forced to. And then this year, had a chance to go into a, not an academy, but we already called it, where there is independent coaches in basketball. Never been happier. Kids never been happier. Learning so much. It's no slight on Trevor. Trevor's probably doing a heck of a job, but it's your kid. You're around him all the time. It's difficult. It's a juggling act. And then in small towns, you know, the parents are the only ones. How many NHLers got coached by their dad? We just heard from Marty Murray, played in the NHL. His dad coached him growing up. It's also a special time. You only have your kids for a certain amount of time until they want to have nothing to do with you as a parent. It's coming up on me here in the next few years. So you want to spend that time with them. But I can't coach them in everything. There is no way would I coach my kids in every sport. They get a little bit of dad, a little bit of mom, and that's it. Teachers, hats off to you guys. Coaches, hats off to you guys. Love buying those gift cards at the end of the year. Always great. Brandon Basler joined us a little bit earlier from the Monday Nooner podcast, talking senior hockey. Thanks to all the texts, too, for people that love the senior chatter from all over Lethbridge. Tuning into the sports cage, loving the senior hockey chatter. Talked about it with Sharky on Tuesday in Lumsden, Sunday night. The Lumsden Monarchs, Round Lake Bears, they're not in a league. Play in the First Nation tournaments. Put this team together out of the OCHAP First Nation, and they have some players. and they're good. But Lumsden was fast. Everyone predicted Lumsden. 1,200 is what they say the Lumsden rink holds. There was all of 1,200. I would say closer to 1,500. Unbelievable atmosphere. They did a heck of a job. One of the guys on the Round Lake Bears for Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, is a two-time Stanley Cup champ. They got guys that played Western Hockey League, played minor pro two, and everyone thought, ah, they're a little bit old. Lumsden's a little bit too fast, but old, veteran, savvy experience paid off. All right, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline from Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, two-time Stanley Cup champ, Dwight King. Dwight, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to hop on the Sports Cage.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thanks for having me on here today.
So let's talk about this. You know, senior hockey, senior A, the Round Lake Bears, an absolute buzzsaw right now, packing rinks. The Lumsden rink was jammed to the hilt. How did this all come about for you to strap on the blades and play a little senior A provincial action with Round Lake?
Yeah, it kind of came forward pretty fast. About Christmas time, I guess, is when Winston Bear, the manager of Round Lake, has kind of had the idea to put together this team. I think his goal is to eventually get into a league for the guys who are from Round Lake area. But as far as this one, I think tournament hockey is pretty big in First Nations communities, and Round Lake always has a strong team, and I think he just wanted to kind of rally around a group of players that could be competitive and just have a little bit of a morale in the communities over there.
How has it been for you? Like, were you playing any senior this year, or, you know, did you just fire up with Round Lake kind of cold?
I haven't. I played 4 games, so I'm obviously getting up there in age, and I'm winding down in my senior playing career, but it's getting a little easier now. First couple games were tough, but that's just a part of getting older.
Yeah, you know, and Winston did a good job, and, you know, whoever else is helping organize the team, like, you guys brought in some really good hockey players. And I've had a chance to watch a couple of games, and you look at Colton Yellowhorn, you look at Trent Campbell, just an absolute veteran, smart player. Day Chief coming in, like, your team has some unbelievable hockey players.
Yeah, you've done a really good job making the lineup. Like you said, a lot of those players have pro experience, and I think that's kind of a big part because, like you mentioned, everybody you mentioned is over a certain age, so we got to use a little bit of our experience to our advantage, but it's nice that he was able to convince such high-caliber players to join, for sure.
Pretty exciting for the guys. Obviously, you played in the NHL, you played in the Stanley Cup final, you know, Pac Staples Center, all that kind of stuff. But pretty exciting for some of those other guys to walk into Lumsden even well before warm up and see the rink jam packed. And the same thing probably at OCHAP coming up here on Saturday.
Yeah, it's been a cool experience. Like you mentioned earlier, I've played a couple seasons here in Meadow Lake for senior hockey, but the support we're getting down there for every round up to now has been unbelievable. Obviously in junior hockey, all the rinks are different dimensions and different sizes. So it's kind of cool to see, no matter where, what size the facility, they find a way to fill it up and support the team.
Are you, I guess, you know, you're not a coach, but are you doing any coaching in the dressing room and helping out just kind of with your hockey pedigree?
I think it's a little bit of a group effort. Obviously, if you look at our average age on the roster, it's probably right around 35-ish, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. So enough guys have played good hockey, competitive hockey. Myself, my demeanor has always been pretty calm. So just be myself. If anybody has any questions, I help where I can. But I think everybody understands what needs to be done, and essentially just focus on playing their game, and that helps the team in the end.
you know, we're in a spot here where there's, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of people, you know, working towards truth and reconciliation. And, you know, this is such an important thing with the series with Carlisle and Milestone. And then, you know, Lumsden acknowledging that as well. For you and, you know, I think John Morasty and some of the other guys, you guys are coming down, putting on a lot of miles, mind you, driving from Meadow Lake to the south. But you're also, you know, getting a chance to get out to some of the First Nations and talk to the youth and do some speaking engagements as well.
Yeah, that's that is a cool respect they're giving. And obviously, like you mentioned, as people, we're all trying to move forward together and acknowledge the past and then obviously grow for a brighter future. But it's definitely nice to have that respect and understanding and willingness to work to a brighter future and kind of not forget or discredit the past, but learn from it and obviously make some changes and provide a brighter future for the next generation. And like you mentioned, being able to go to schools as we do as speakers, more or less on our journeys as athletes, but also just being proud of your culture and who you are and what you represent, I think, is important.
All right, so coming up Saturday night in OCHAP, game 2 against Lumsden. Like you said, you know, you guys are a little bit older, maybe average age around 35. A sweep would be nice so you don't have to fire it back up Sunday for game 3, right?
Yeah, we've done it the hard way so far the first two rounds. So if we can learn from that and put an effort for us, I think our bodies would be very thankful on us.
Right on, Dwight King. Thanks so much for spending some time with the Sports Cage today.
All right, thank you very much for having me.
That is Dwight King, and that is the Indigenous Spotlight for Freeze, Tallman, and Fort Qu'Appelle and Regina. Save 15% on Geldwin windows and doors from Freeze, Tallman Lumber. Sale ends March 22nd. Round Lake. Lumsden Saturday nights in OCHAP should be a dandy. Time for a quick break. When we come back, we're talking female hockey as the U of R, as the Regina Rebels U18 AAA squad get set to kick off their playoffs. You're listening to the home of sports in Saskatchewan, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Nobody covers your team like our team. This is the Sports Cage on the mighty 620 CKRM.
All right, now joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, leading scorer from the U18 female AAA league this year from the Regina Rebels, Stryker Zablocki. And Stryker, thanks so much for hopping on. You guys are getting ready to take on North Battleford here in the second round of the playoffs. Having the first round bye, was that a good thing, or would you rather have kept playing?
Yeah, I think it was a great thing. We had a few weeks to kind of recollect ourselves and get ready for the pace of playoffs, because obviously North Battleford is going to be a pretty tough opponent. So high intensity practices, and yeah, we're excited to get started.
Right on. What is North Battleford all about? What's their team makeup?
Yeah, they play a really, really tough game. They're hard on us. They work hard. So we're a hardworking team, and we kind of just have to use our speed, use our strengths as a team, and get by them.
Okay, so I know you probably want to keep this on the team thing, but let's talk personally now. 40 goals, 25 assists, 65 points this season, led the league. Personally, how do you assess your season?
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, I have a bunch of great teammates who have helped me. Lines have been switching the whole season, and we have a super deep lineup, and everyone has helped me achieve my goal, I guess. And yeah, I'm super grateful for all my teammates.
Right on. Okay, so you're from Prince Albert originally. Like, did you move away this year? Was it last year? How many years have you been gone from Paradise up north?
Last year I came here, so this is my second year.
Oh yeah, so that's not bad. And then I understand that you have committed to Northeastern?
Yes.
Oh wow, that's awesome. Have you done a visit there? Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
And what did you think?
It was awesome.
That rink is so cool, and then now with the brand new score clock in there, it's the atmosphere.
I know.
Are you excited for the Boston area? Because there's so much good hockey in that like New England Boston area, right?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to go.
And then so North Battleford, you know, like you said, you guys are excited for this. As you guys, has the goal all year been to win the championship? You know, like no surprise for you guys to get to where you need to go?
Yeah, that's for sure our main goal throughout the season. We take it game by game, but ultimately that's what we're working toward.
I want to ask you this because my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, Gabrielle, had a chance to be the seventh skater with your team earlier this year. And from when she got to the rink and how she was greeted by the staff to the players, it was just amazing. She was over the moon. It was so cool for her. Now, as a collective group, are you guys, you know, seeing that you guys are these leaders for these younger girls? And maybe just talk about that a bit. And if you had any, you know, females that you looked up to in the past years.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, this year, like you said, our team is full of leaders and we have a super positive environment and everybody's looking to inspire the next generation. And I think growing up, I really looked up to Emily Clark, if you know who that is.
Yeah.
And she was an amazing inspiration for me. And I hope that we can do the same for younger girls in Regina and even just the province overall.
Yeah, well, I think you guys definitely have. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, Strikers of Blocky here on the Western Pizza Hotline with us, is explain to me how this like female world junior thing went for you. Like you went overseas and it was in January. Where did you go and how did that all come about?
Yeah, so we went to Switzerland and we ended up getting bronze there. But it was kind of a longer process in the summertime. They selected a team to play USA in a series of three, and we ended up winning all three games. And then they reselect a team again, and this year Worlds were in Switzerland, so we headed there and obviously did pretty good. We ended up with bronze.
So do you get a chance to play in this next year as well?
Hopefully, if everything goes well.
Right on. Well, let's hope you're there. And, you know, like I said, the Northeastern thing, super cool. All right, Stryker, I know you got practice to get to here, and just thanks so much for taking some time, and really good luck to you and your team as you guys head into the playoff round against North Battleford.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me as well.
What a great, great interview. Wow. Super mature. Northeastern University. It's going to be pretty exciting for her. 7 p.m. tomorrow, the female Rebels taking on North Battleford. 7 p.m. puck drop at the Cooperator Center here in Regina. If you didn't listen earlier, Friday night, the Wolseley Junior C Mustangs taking on Yellowgrass in a do-or-die game, 8 o'clock, Wolseley Sportsplex. At 5:30, there is a wing night with craft products. Going to be on sale. 5:30 wing night in Wolseley. That's got to be an absolute banger of a time, doesn't it? And there'll be a guaranteed 50-50, 500, and food bank drive with people bringing craft products, if possible, to promote their bid to win the big prize. We want Wolseley to win Craft Hockeyville. Mentioned it earlier when Kellen was here. It kind of pisses me off that a Saskatchewan town has never won this. I feel like there is some sort of scam that the voting thing, we just all got to get behind Wolseley. It's about time a Saskatchewan center won Craft Hockeyville. If you're making your way to Swift Current tonight, 7:15, that puck goes down. Pat Sees and Swift Current, game number two. No WHL, no SJ tonight. Saturday, Junior B South Final starts in Pilot Butte. Rink's going to be an absolute mixer. 7:45, Regina Capitals, Pilot Butte. We did have one texter today
awesome going up to the CIS Women's Championship. 7 o'clock, Huskies and Concordia. First game for both of those squads at the CIS Women's National Championship. That'll be exciting. Ice hockey as well. 25-0 were Concordia in the regular season. CIS curling, the U of R men's team in action starting right now at Nationals. They're 2-2. They need this win this evening against Brock. Brock is 1-3, so rooting for the U of R men's curling team at Nationals. NHL tonight, 12 games. The ones I highlighted, Florida and the Hurricanes, Rangers, Lightning, and then later Golden Knights and the Flames. It was a jam-packed show. We were all over the place. Thanks to everyone who engaged and got in on the when do you coach your kids till, you know, what age, at what level do you back away? It was really great. Thanks to everyone for hopping in on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. Thanks to Kellen, who was in again today, Arash Madani, Benny Walchuk in the SJHL report, Glenn Suter, Marty Murray, head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Great guy. Senior report, Brandon Basler from the Monday Nooner podcast, Dwight King. We just heard from the Round Lake Bears and Striker Zablocki from the Regina Rebels. That is the Sports Cage. Wrapping it up on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey. We will talk to you again next week. Brandon McGuire's in tomorrow to wrap up the week on the cage. It's been a slice. See you later.
Today's Sports Cage has come to a close. Miss a segment? Download or stream the podcast now at sportscage.ca. Get your sports straight from the source. 620 CKRM.